AM W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. GOP presidential hopeful Nikki Haley picked up the key endorsement of New Hampshire's governor this week. ABC's deputy political director, Avery Harper, says her campaign is looking to expand support ahead of the primary.
They know that Kristen Nunu, the governor of New Hampshire, is very popular not only with Republicans, but independents in the state. And those are independents who can vote in the state's open Republican primary. And so that's where they're looking to run up the score, because they know that they can't do anything about the significant portion of the party that may be loyal to former President Trump, but they could try and expand the electorate there with independent voters.
Israeli Defense Forces say the deaths of three Israeli hostages during combat in Gaza was a mistake and not in line with the rules of engagement. IDF says the Israeli hostages were waving white cloths and should not have been fired upon. NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the hospital after suffering a fall in Los Angeles. His representative says the Hall of Famer suffered a broken hip. This is ABC News. A health scare for an NBA legend.
Multiple reports say basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has been hospitalized after breaking his hip last night while attending an undisclosed concert. That, according to Abdul-Jabbar's spokesperson, the six-time NBA champion and six-time league MVP is 76. Abdul-Jabbar was scheduled for surgery. He expressed appreciation for the Los Angeles Fire Department, which treated him at the scene, and UCLA Hospital's medical team. Joey Waller, ABC News.
A major symbol returning in the restoration of Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral following that devastating blaze.
The restoration of Notre Dame Cathedral reaching a milestone. The new spire atop the cathedral crowned with a golden rooster. The old rooster was damaged beyond repair in the April 2019 fire, but relics inside were saved and will be placed inside the new one, including what's believed to be a fragment of Christ's crown of thorns and the bones of two saints.
ABC's Dave Packer, Notre Dame Cathedral set to reopen next spring. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast.
Breaking breast.
Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Dreams of the Great Lakes generating offshore wind energy haven't worked out so far, but experts still think it can work. Here's Mike Mohn.
Despite early proposals that surfaced more than a decade ago, no commercial offshore wind turbines have been installed in the Great Lakes region. The University of Wisconsin's Greg Nemeth, who studies energy policy, says the Great Recession, lack of technology, and minimal interest from utilities thwarted the initial buzz. Some of those factors have changed, but Nemeth says there are still hurdles.
It seems to be because of increases in the cost of equipment, some of the specialized equipment that you need to work offshore, and then a higher interest rate environment.
And this month, the Lake Erie Energy Development Corporation decided to halt its Ohio wind project indefinitely. In the push for clean energy, it's hard to rule out an offshore project eventually being floated in places like Wisconsin. Nemeth says one attractive feature for offshore projects is you can build them closer to locations that have larger energy demands, with Milwaukee coming to mind. Land-based projects, despite their growth, still can face local opposition. Offshore projects do too, but Nemeth doesn't see them as being a big problem.
At the nearest, they'd be on the distant horizon, so you wouldn't really see them very much.
Even though aesthetics might not get local residents angered about an offshore project, he says impacts on birds and their migratory paths could drum up opposition to offshore development. However, some researchers say if technology matures for floating turbines in freshwater settings, it could help alleviate concerns about jumpstarting these kinds of projects in the Great Lakes region. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Nicole Pollock for Inside Climate News.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some light rain, cloudy and foggy tonight with some mist and drizzle and lows in the mid-30s. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, the wind picking up, high only in the upper 30s. Colder Monday and breezy, wind gusts to near 30 miles an hour. Sun returns, high only, low 20s. Currently 40 degrees.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday. It's a happy hour. There's been a $148 million defamation ruling against Rudy Giuliani. If $48 million was going to kill him, this will kill him three times over. A jury has awarded
Rudy,
$148 million.
It was $16.2 million and $17 million. Each for defamation, $20 million each for emotional distress, and $75 million in punitive damages.
I'm appealing. Rudy, of course, will appeal.
But well, I mean, you know, at that point, if you're Rudy Giuliani, you don't have $148 million, right? I'm assuming he does not. He can't scratch a check for that. It may as well be $100 bajillion. You know what I mean? He can't pay it. He's not going to be able to pay it. Now, what he does have hopefully will be sold off and given to the victims of his abuse.
But once you've already been found to be the loser in this case, I just don't think you should have the right to go out on the steps of the courthouse and say, you know, we're going to reverse those so quickly your head will spin. Well, if this was a criminal finding, your ass would be sitting in jail until they did. And they usually don't. You know, most cases are not overturned on appeal. Anyways, Dom, we're eagerly anticipating our legal counsel, Milwaukee County Corporation Counsel, Maggie Dawn, most importantly, our good friend and the host of the Maggie Dawn Show, doing a little overtime today, hopefully on her way to join Dom for a little Friday partying right here on the airwaves. But in the meantime, that means you could air your grievances. And we're going to go to the exotic location of Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin. And Ross, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi, Ross.
Hey, guys. Hey, just a quick note for John down there in Flores. Van Orden is his, he's fortunate or unfortunate to have Van Orden as his U.S.
Yeah, he lives in the third, right? Right, Ross? Do you live in the third? Soldier Grove, also in the third, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of a weird district, kind of reaches all the way up to La Crosse and has this little weird arm that extends up into the middle of the state. It's kind of a strange district, but this is just my little Friday comment. I'm voting for Biden, and it's like, oh, some people say, oh, you know, wow, surprise. But the reason I'm voting for Biden is because here in Soldiers Grove, where I live, I don't even have fiber optic internet. I'll be getting it in a couple months. And the reason I'm getting it is because of the Biden Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Act, which Dan Orton wasn't in power, I don't think, to vote against, to vote for those. But he was a state senator. And there's no thanks to Van Orden, no thanks to the Republicans in this state that we've been without internet, and we're now finally getting fiber optics. I got to burn cell data. You know, I'm sure I could get a satellite, but if you've ever been to this part of the state, you get in these valleys. No satellites, they don't work back here. So we're now getting, and that's happening because of Biden, President Biden. So I would defy anyone if there's any conservative people out there that would say blah, 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 and ask yourselves, if you didn't have internet, what would you be saying at this point?
So well, they end up listing on AM talk radio. Ross, are you listing on what, 1490 The Eagle out of La Crosse? How do you listen to us?
Yeah, so, no, I where I'm at, I'm south of La Crosse. I'm kind of close to down by near Richland Center, so I got WRCE that I can listen to. If I'm out on my property walking around, I use the app. You know, I got to burn a little bit of cell data to do that. Otherwise, if I'm in the house, then I can turn the radio on and listen to you guys.
Keep us near and dear, Ross. Appreciate you listening. You know, always great to hear from people in the great state of Wisconsin. We're going to take at least a few more, or try to get to a few more, like Mark from the SAC. Mark, you're going to be next. What's your Friday grievance? Mark.
Oh, you got me out. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, man. Yeah, be ready. Be ready. Hot potato coming your way.
Rudy's pants so on fire that his testicles are getting scorched.
Come on, man. We're not talking about chestnuts roasting over open fires today, okay, Mark?
And Ron Johnson, I mean, that's what I meant to say for that. I mean, that liar, Ron Johnson. And Rudy Giuliani, liar on him, too, because he's going to go out again and lie about the people he was just, you know, hit for $148 million for. I mean, the guy, I don't know. And it is just these guys are just despicable. I mean, they're purely despicable. I know this is the season of good feelings toward your fellow man, but for some of these, it's kind of hard to scratch up good feelings for your fellow man for some of these folks.
Well, Mark, as you know, Dom is an atheist, and his attitude's always been, F that guy. And that really is any season of the year. Dom, I see we've been joined by the incomparable Maggie Dawn. This will be priceless. You know, this is what you've been waiting for. This is your Christmas surprise. Maggie Dawn, counselor, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
What's up, guys? How you doing this Friday afternoon?
Oh, much better now that you're here, Maggie Dawn.
Are we airing of the grievances?
We are.
Festivus pull up?
It is.
We are. Maggie, I got to ask you, Jim Troupas, we found out this week through some of the, apparently Michigan tapes of Kenneth Cheesebro giving testimony to investigators. And in some way, shape, or form, Troupas actually towed the line of reality. And I don't want to give this man too much credit because I know he was willing to throw out his own vote, that of his wife, disenfranchise 200,000 Wisconsin voters. But when the courts didn't go that way, at least he was willing to see it that way. Cheesebro had a different plan. Did you see that reporting this week, Maggie?
I sure did. I was really, I listened to the audio that got released. First of all, Cheesebro talks real fast, doesn't he? It's like, yeah, I told him maybe it was possible to still overthrow the government. And then everybody said that I shouldn't be saying that to him, you know, that he might take that the wrong way. I thought the audio from Cheesebro was really interesting because I'm not sure it proves everything that people are assuming that it proves. And I think Cheesebro was probably saying that because he thinks it's going to create some deniability perhaps for Trump. But I did think it was very revelatory to see that in that meeting, Troupas was the one that was saying, yeah, this isn't going to work. You're done, sir.
You're done. He literally said, Wisconsin's over. Yeah.
Yes. And he should have known, right? He was the one that had orchestrated the recount. I was there every day. The arguments were rejected. They were appealed, and it was done. So,
hey, you're sort of minimizing your part in this whole role. You are my hero for this, Maggie Dawn. You whooped Troopus's ass on a daily basis. This wasn't a 5-minute affair. This was a daily trench warfare, him challenging every ballot in the stack each and every day until you set a process that allowed you to expedite through this so the deadlines could be met. Your part is a big part, Maggie Dawn. Don't minimize.
Well, thanks, Mike. And my role during that process was not as a partisan. It was as the legal advisor to the Milwaukee County Election Commission and advising them and helping them to figure out how to get it done when every single ballot was challenged. So there were zero ballots counted in Milwaukee County for just slightly over 2 days as we permitted. And I had advised the Milwaukee County Elections Commission, just let's take every single objection that can be made by either side that wishes to challenge a ballot on any basis, permit them to make all of the objections that they think would plausibly apply to any ballot, engage briefing, ask them to put forward their legal arguments. You allow the opposing side to respond. You allow a reply brief. We're going to do that in a highly expedited. It was a matter of hours on each side. And then the Elections Commission took that briefing under advisement. They had oral argument broadcast live on YouTube. And then the Elections Commission ruled on each and every objection. And effectively, then objections were just noted, right? Like the counting could begin then. They went through all the objections and they said, yes, no, maybe so. Count these, don't count these. And proceed. And so people were freaking out because they're like, not a single ballot's been counted in Milwaukee County for 2 days. And I'm a process gal. You get the process right, you create a robust record that you know will provide a reviewing court full argumentation on both sides, right? You really wanted Mr. Trump's campaign to have its day before the commission, right? And allow them to put forth all possible factual and legal arguments. And we did that. And then we got the count done. And then the courts took up their arguments on appeal and found nearly all of them to not be meritorious. The ones that they did find were meritorious had no substantive effect on the count at all.
And you did so effectively that you convinced Jim Troupas, who was counsel for Trump here in the state of Wisconsin, he was on the other side of this argument. You convinced him that Wisconsin was dead. This was a dead end. Because if you come to Wisconsin, you got Maggie Dawn on the other side, and she already whooped our asses. But interestingly, Cheesebro didn't let it die. As you pointed out, Cheesebro said, but it's not really a done deal until January 6th. And there were plenty willing to play along, which was the next step in the coup, because it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter. We had the plaintiff's attorney on the other day from Law Forward, Jeff Mandel. And Mandel said, we were satisfied with where we've resolved with these 10 people, but the lawsuit still remains against Jim Troupas and against Cheesebro. And my question is do you think they're still there?
Yeah, maybe we can talk about it when we come back from these very important messages that no one should miss. Because, why give away all the milk for free? Gotta pay the bills first, everybody. You'll get my opinion on that when we come back, right, Mike?
I hope it's good, wholesome whole milk that Santa uses to make his muscles strong.
What was that?
That was Congresswoman Virginia Fox. She is our good friend Maggie Dawn, counselor to the devil's advocates. Although, she would not accept that role. More devils.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZN.
Shows Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances, having some fun though. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, is in studio with me. Happy Friday, Maggie. Thanks for coming around.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. What a way to kick off the weekend with Dom and Crute.
You're welcome.
Maggie, I don't know if you saw this one. I want to throw this out, talking about little Wisconsin politics. Wisconsin senior senator Ron Johnson didn't hold his own very well on CNN recently, and Caitlin Collins, you know, challenged him. Oh, what you know,
the books, check the books.
Talking about the fraudulent electors and talking about they civilly settled this case with law forward. And according to Ron Johnson, it was a travesty of justice. I mean, it was
his words.
Yes, his words. And of course, and then he followed it up with, well, the Dems have been doing this all the time. This happens all the time with the Dems. Caitlin Collins wasn't having any of it. Well, this has happened before. We had fraudulent electors from Wisconsin. No, I mean, you know, this has happened. You just got to check the books. What book? You know, so very.
Line of the year. Which book, sir?
The book.
Have your office call me. If it's true, we'll put it on the air.
If it's accurate.
Crickets.
Right. Yes, yes. And then she followed up. I did see Caitlin Collins do a follow-up piece on CNN. And PolitiFact in Wisconsin here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel also threw it out there. False. No, man. This is what what he ended up sending Caitlin Collins and what his staff articulated as his points didn't even address the false statement that he made in the first place.
Correct. I talked about it a bit on my show this week, like the day, I think on Tuesday this week. And my point is, when you're about to say extraordinary things or make really breathtaking allegations, you should be able and prepared. We should be able to expect of political leaders and elected officials that when you say something like that, you should expect a follow-up question, which should be asked, and you should have facts to back it up. And if not, you shouldn't be asked to come back on air, right? Like there isn't, don't we have a social contract here that you don't just make stuff up out of whole cloth every day because it happens to suit you in the moment politically? Ron Johnson is not a credible speaker on any topic.
Maggie.
The drinking age.
Oh,
that's what Ron does, though. In the interview format, Ron will just basically lock down. Let me ask you policy. Ron Johnson, most recently when I saw him, he was with Brian Stahel in Whitewater, and they were basically making the threats, starting the threats, that they were going to tie the funding of Ukraine, the funding of Israel, to the border wall. And here we find the Senate Democrats apparently have taken up these negotiations. And I don't think Ron is directly at the table negotiating, but this is the underlying theme that Ron and I believe Mike Lee called for. And we find the Democrats negotiating on this topic, or there won't be any more money for Ukraine. We'll just give it over to Putin and Israel. You know, they used to be our friends, apparently. Any thoughts?
Ron shouldn't be at any negotiating table because negotiations rely upon good faith, and nothing that comes out of his mouth can be relied upon. He's also not considered a GOP leader in the Senate. He's a clown show amongst his own caucus in the Senate. He's the cringy guy, right? Like, oh God, Ron Johnson's talking again. What possibly is going to happen?
Didn't Mitt Romney ask him once, is there a conspiracy theory you don't believe?
Basically, you know, and when the binders of women guy is strapping his dog to the roof is asking you what conspiracy theories don't you believe in? It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
But the distastefulness of taking one of the most complex and fraught public policy questions that faces the United States domestically, and we do have a crisis of how to fulfill our nation's first principles, which is come, right? Come. We welcome people here. Your huddled masses, right? Like these are our first principles. And how do we fulfill that promise while still, you know, ensuring that the people that reach our country do so legally, are given fair process, and that we don't permit people in who want to do us harm? That is a question that has been plaguing the Congress and the United States for 25 years. And now, at a moment when you have Russia and Putin pressing forward into Western Europe, threatening NATO, and a complete humanitarian and security crisis in the Mideast, the purely cravenness of tying these things together is so disgusting that it defies explanation, in my opinion. Having said that, listen, Democrats are pretty good at letting the GOP feel like they just lodged a win when what they're winning is nothing of any moment or substance. Let us all hope that that is so true here. You know, that was the whole compromise between Biden and McCarthy over the debt ceiling. He let McCarthy take a victory lap when there was victory at all. It was all on Biden's side of the ledger. You know, like, that's the trick. Let's pull another one off here.
How'd that work out for Kevin McCarthy? He's the speaker still, right?
Not so much.
Well, it's like Mike Johnson's like McCarthy 2.0 with very weird religious righty beliefs, right? I mean, he's not doing anything differently than McCarthy.
Like, literally almost said the same exact thing.
It is. McCarthy, it's the same. Yeah. It's just on repeat because they can't control their own caucus because they've gerrymandered themselves into blood red districts that promote extremists and know-nothings and pedophiles like Matt Gaetz and MTG and the Boberts of the world. I mean, these are know-nothing people who have no idea what government actually is supposed to do or how it provides community wellness and our collective responsibility. They have no interest in any of that. They're just bomb throwers.
Maggie, I have great interest in knowing your opinion. Wisconsin Supreme Court, another topic with Law Forward, Jeff Mandel, was the gerrymander suit. And he told us to expect some sort of a ruling. Maggie, read some tea leaves. Speculate with me. How do you think this will go? And do we still have to fear the U.S. Supreme Court intervening and taking away any victory we might win at the state highest court level?
Well, the maps have deprived one person, one vote as a fundamental principle, where you have a split state or a state that more often than not leans left, and yet you only see 40% of the assembly as Democrats and nearly a veto-proof supermajority. That's not fair representation. And it may be if you're on the GOP side of the fence now, you think, oh, that's working great for me. But those tides will turn. We need a different process in Wisconsin. It's not working. Use the Michigan model, get a nonpartisan commission, and get the politicians out of it. Everyone deserves fair maps. That's where the court's going to go. But the quality of the decision here matters. Because if it is a well-crafted decision, it is my view that the Supreme Court will have a very hard time granting certiorari. A very hard time. But watch out, that shadow docket may indeed be what we should fear most. That is staying the effect of an order of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and keeping these gerrymandered, unfair maps in place through 2024. That's my great fear.
Folks, she is Maggie Dawn. If she is afraid, you should be afraid. She never gets it wrong. She's a friend of ours. Would you accept our representation request? Will you be counselor for the devil's advocates? We might need a lawyer.
Retainer.
Well, you know, goodwill and like a buck. And I might need change. Come back.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. GOP presidential hopeful Nikki Haley picked up the key endorsement of New Hampshire's governor this week. ABC's deputy political director, Avery Harper, says her campaign is looking to expand support ahead of the primary.
They know that Kristen Neuneu, the governor of New Hampshire, is very popular not only with Republicans, but independents in the state. And those are independents who can vote in the state's open Republican primary. And so that's where they're looking to run up the score, because they know that they can't do anything about the significant portion of the party that may be loyal to former President Trump, but they could try and expand the electorate there with independent voters.
Israeli Defense Forces say the deaths of three Israeli hostages during combat in Gaza was a mistake and not in line with the rules of engagement. IDF says the Israeli hostages were waving white cloths and should not have been fired upon. NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the hospital after suffering a fall in Los Angeles. His representative says the Hall of Famer suffered a broken hip. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Packers and the Buccaneers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Buccaneers Sunday at noon. This will be the third year in a row quarterback Baker Mayfield has played at Lambeau Field with three different teams, the Browns, the Rams, and now the Buccaneers. Is Mayfield a threat? Packers defensive back Eric Stokes.
Oh, yeah, huh, for sure. Baker always bringing that energy, bringing that little leadership to him, no matter what team he was. Cleveland leadership, Rams leadership, Buccaneers now leadership. Like, that's just him. Like, he could bring that energy, he could bring that juice, he could bring that firepower all the way back from his Oklahoma days. You always remember Baker as being like the motivated dog.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons tonight in Milwaukee. Detroit lost their 22nd game in a row last night in Philadelphia, a franchise record losing streak. The Bucks getting Pat Connaughton back.
Pat practice, Chris Livingston, they'll be available. Chris Middleton will not play. Expect him ready for the Houston game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some light rain, cloudy and foggy tonight with some mist and drizzle and lows in the mid-30s. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, the wind picking up, high only in the upper 30s. Colder Monday and breezy, wind gusts to near 30 miles an hour. Sun returns, high only, low 20s. It's 39 right now.
Her name is Pam Jahnke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan, Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Jahnke, on The Buzz of the North, WBZH, 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Freedom. Freedom.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
I got to tell you, it's cracking me up with that. Do you remember when, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Friday edition, the happier happy hour, and we're very happy because we've been joined by the greatest of guests, our friend Maggie Dawn. She does the Maggie Dawn Show, doing a little overtime this Friday. Maggie, you and I were part of a very important conversation, and freedom, one of the topics. Freedom resonates with a lot of people, and we talk about the polling currently and the head-to-head between Trump and Biden. And what I don't think is being accounted for in the national polling is Dobbs and Roe v. Wade and how many women have really taken this, let's just say, quite personally, their loss of personal freedoms. And I would wonder, and I don't get every opportunity to speak with you on the air, but I would wonder, freedom as an issue, women's reproductive rights, women's abortive rights, do you think any of that is being reflected through these presidential preference polls? Do you think that one party has a clear claim to this side? I mean, do the Dems? Want to get your thoughts, Maggie Dawn.
Well, yeah, the Dems. Listen, I don't care. Pick your issue. And there is a very cogent and obvious and rational and fact-based argument that the Democratic Party is the one that actually advocates for and argues that, yes, every person in this country deserves to have their rights and freedoms protected, that it isn't a matter of religious preferencing, that that is not in alignment with American values. For crying out loud, that's part of what the founding fathers were fleeing, right? So the idea that in one person or one side's religious beliefs permit the taking of rights and freedoms from people who don't share those religious beliefs is completely un-American. So I don't care if you're talking about the right of women to access healthcare and to control their bodies in an equal way to men, which is essential to be a full member of society, or whether or not you're talking about the rights of LGBTQIA plus folks to participate fully in society, to the rights of children to read a variety of materials that represent a variety of viewpoints as carefully curated and chosen by those who are educational professionals within public schools. These are freedoms, and the Democratic Party presents and represents freedoms in a much more real way when you get behind the sloganing and the scare tactics. I don't like to operate from a place of fear. I consider that weak. I consider those that do operate and make choices from a place of fear, those who have been manipulated and weak. I don't want any part of that weak party. And that weak party is the Republican Party. It's a weak party because you're following a guy that doesn't know squat about squat, including Ron Johnson and the Orange Man. That's weak. Turn on your brain, turn off the TV set, and engage. The Democratic Party represents freedom in all of its form. The freedom of workers to organize, to protect their rights, the freedom of the middle class to earn a reasonable living, the freedom of all of us and our rights to breathe air that's clean and drink water that is safe. Those are rights and freedoms. The GOP has nothing to do with any of that.
Kellyanne Conway said very recently that Republicans need to take up the cause of contraception. Because you can't be pro-life and not be I know, they're not going to, but that is her recommendation. But it is my understanding the U.S. Supreme Court, in fact, is taking up what Mifepristone. I know I'm not saying that properly, but this is labeled as an abortive pill, and maybe I misclassify that, but they're certainly going to misclassify that. This court seems very ambitious. They certainly don't seem to follow the current trend of the nation, or we wouldn't have a Dobbs decision in its form overturning Roe v. Wade. So Maggie Dawn, I think we've got a tone deaf Supreme Court. How fearful are you that they're going to rule against contraception?
I see some tea leaves on the Supreme Court that reflect the fact that they are becoming cognizant that their approval ratings are in the toilet, that people are angry, and that they are creating a problem for the GOP that got the majority of them onto the bench. I don't think they are going to side with the Fifth Circuit that concluded that mifepristone exceeded the FDA's authority. I actually think they're going to rule that the Fifth Circuit was an error. In other words, they're experiencing public opinion backlash, and they're trying to save face in a couple of different places. And I think contraception may be one of them. So again, my read is that on the mifepristone ruling, they're going to find in the FDA's favor. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch, they're going to overrule Chevron deference. Okay, what is Chevron deference? That is, if Congress was silent in enacting a law about a particular detail, then it is left to the administration and the regulatory agencies filled with civil servants who are experts to rulemake in that area after an appropriate note and comment period. They're going to wipe that off the map. So it'll be very interesting. What I think is they are going to fundamentally change the rules of the game while effectively giving a little drippings to the poor here to try to keep Americans confused and off balance as to what is actually going on. So they let, for example, Illinois' assault weapons ban go into effect. There was a request on the shadow docket for an emergency stay to prevent it from taking effect. They denied that. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I think they're going to modulate on some Second Amendment stuff as well, because they realize they Congress is going to have to do something. The Supreme Court is unmoored from any of its prior practices. It has exploded in its power and authority, and it's making decisions in the dark of night on its shadow docket that affect millions of people's freedoms and rights, and people are starting to pay attention.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Maggie Dawn. She's the host of the Maggie Dawn Show, friend of ours, hanging out with us on a Friday. Maggie, on this topic, this Texas case, this woman who was allowed to get an abortion through a court order, and all of a sudden a Texas Supreme Court stayed that, said, no, you can't do it. Now she got to leave the state in order to have this procedure. A woman who has kids, wants kids, doesn't want to do this, but genetic difficulties, things happen in pregnancies. And they wanted to go septic before she gets an abortion.
Yes, that's the answer.
How is that an answer?
It's not. It's ridiculous. It's saying that a bunch of predominantly white men get to decide what's best for women. That is not how this works, everybody. It's never been how it should have worked, though it was for many, many eons until 1920, when women finally had the right to vote. The idea that you would force a woman to become infertile or risk her life, in other words, die, in service of your religious belief about how women should manage their own health care is not compatible with America's first principles. It's just not. This is a non-viable pregnancy. And if forced to come to terms, doctors have said that the child, if born, would suffer a painful death. So in service of imposing their religious beliefs on women, they're going to cause potentially a child to be born to live in suffering and to die in a suffering state, and potentially risk the mother's life as well as her fertility if she is to survive. I don't understand how that is acceptable under any religion, yet alone a legal system.
What's the blowback, the consequence, the solution to all of this?
Well, I think women who are in complex pregnancies need to start stepping forward and sharing their stories. Now, keep in mind, and Dom, if you wouldn't mind grabbing my phone right there, because I want to use the woman's name. Kate Cox is a nice white lady, middle to upper class, husband, two kids, right? Makes a nice story. Well, at the same time this has been happening to Kate Cox, which is to have other people's religious beliefs determine how she can choose healthcare, at the same time that this has been happening, a woman, and I want to get the location correct, who had a miscarriage. And the miscarriage was in the toilet, is now being criminally prosecuted and threatened, I believe, with years in a state prison because she flushed the miscarriage discharge down a toilet. Now, the details are gruesome, but this was a dead fetus. The prosecution in her criminal matter concedes this was a dead fetus. It was dead in utero. It was a miscarriage. And they are trying to lock a woman up under these draconian, again, morality policing based on religious beliefs, draconian laws, trying to lock this woman up. She happens to be African-American. I believe that's probably why we're not hearing more about it.
I mean, is this, and what's the charge? Something to do with a corpse? I guess that was...
It came within that state's abortion ban language, and it has to do with fetal remains. I mean, that's insane. How many times do you guys know when I'm literally rendered speechless?
Not very often, Maggie Dawn, at all. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show. She comes up at 6 o'clock. She's hanging out with us a little early. We do appreciate it. You find it?
Yeah, this is Brittany Watts.
Brittany Watts.
So if you want to go Google Brittany Watts' story, this is just incredibly crazy. She had a miscarriage, and for that, we're going to send her to prison.
Charged with abuse of a corpse, according to the Washington Post.
It's the video. I've watched one of the hearings. It is just horrifying. And this is one of those things that falls within law enforcement and prosecutorial discretion. This young woman lost her baby, and your decision is to lock her up for it, as if she's not going through enough. It's the callousness and the cruelty. Again, I don't think that that represents American values at all, that we treat each other with such cruelty, with such indifference. I didn't think that that was who we are, and I certainly hope it's not.
This was in the state of Ohio. yes, there we go, Ohio.
Less cool Wisconsin, you mean?
Mm-hmm. 844-967-2789. We'll get to some calls perhaps in the next segment. 2 minutes left in this one. All right, let me switch it up on you because that's some very...
Are you going to talk about Rudy?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
$148 million. They said $48 million would kill him. He's a dead man walking the jury. You know, some of the jurors apparently very emotional, crying during the testimony. And they came back with a doozy, $75 million. Of that, in punitive damages, Maggie, what does that say to you?
Rudy, you're done. No one believes you. You are a lying sack of blankety blank. And this jury's going to make sure that you go broke and that you stay broke. He's likely judgment proof. I mean, I'll be surprised if these two women who were racially profiled, lied about, and have had their lives forever altered. They will never be able to live in safety again because Rudy Giuliani wanted to make himself feel important and lie to the American people.
Judgment proof because he probably has a net negative worth, would you suspect?
Yes. Yes. Clearly does. I mean, his own like former right-hand man is suing him so he can get his lawyer fees paid. Like Rudy hired him as his lawyer and to the tune of like $500,000, and he hasn't paid the guy.
Did he give some woman a very expensive engagement ring?
Yeah, I think I heard something about that.
I wonder if that can be returned for full or partial value.
Zales. Excuse me, Zales.
Hey, it's a gift. It's hers now.
Exactly. What's the law on that? That's mine.
Come on back. More of the Devil's Advocates with Maggie Dawn. She's our favorite.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North
910 AM WBZH.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, air the grievances. Right now is your time. 844-967-2789, the Maggie Dawn Show. Coming up next, what's kind of the Maggie Dawn Show right now on the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn in studio with me. Thanks for hanging out with us, girl.
Heck yeah, it's Friday. Let's have some fun with the Devils.
You know, I was on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba last night, and he asked me, have you guys developed some of your favorite guests? I said, developed them? Some of them got their own shows. And you, of course, come to mind, but technically, so does Pizza Box Mike. So, you know, consider the company you keep.
Let's just move on.
844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn wanted to get your opinion. The Board of Regents reconsidered an earlier decision this week. They have flipped their decision. They have gone along with the, I would say, terroristic negotiations of Robin Voss and how he can hold back the raises approved by the legislature for the entire UW system to even have these quote unquote one-sided negotiations. Maggie, any opinions? I know you're a bureaucrat, but this doesn't taste quite right. Leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
How do I say this? This is again what I would term performative politics, and that's a term I use a lot on my show. Here's what it means. It's the use of leverage or power for the sake of using leverage or power. It doesn't actually advance community wellness or any meaningful policy goal, and that's what's going on here. It's performance art. There's no there. What do I mean by that? It's cruelty, right? It's performative cruelty. It's sending what I believe will turn out to be a largely toothless symbolic message to Black and brown people and women and the LGBTQIA plus community that you're not welcome here. When in reality, here's what I think is going to happen. Stop calling it DEI. We'll use a different word. We're still going to do that because here's what. Employers demand employees that are prepared for an increasingly diverse, increasingly interconnected workplace. They do, period. Professors and researchers demand and only want to work in places where a plurality of ideas are brought together, where people feel welcomed. That's what top-level researchers and professors, that's the environment they want to be in. So, all right, we won't call it DEI. Voss will take a victory lap. He'll talk about the cancer of DEI, but we'll start calling it something else. Because these fundamental demographic changes and the demographic trajectory of our country and the consumers of the United States, there is nothing that Robin Voss or Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis can do about that reality. And that reality is that we are becoming more diverse as we sit here on this radio show. And that requires people who are ready to engage in difficult conversations, who are prepared to understand that simply because they haven't experienced something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. People that have the humility and the EQ, the self-awareness, to permit and to engage with others respectfully. That is where we're going. And I don't care what Robin Voss says about it. He's just feeding the beast. I would guarantee you that Robin Voss actually doesn't believe any of this crap that he's spewing. That is simply political necessity. The guy got primaried by the MAGA right. So he's got to give him some red meat, and here it is. And by the way, once we fix the darn maps, we'll just fix it right back in a few years anyways. Now, I don't mean to downplay how hurtful this is and what a betrayal this is. It is. It's all those things. But that doesn't change demographically what is happening. The maths, that's where we're going. It's what employers demand. It's what the biggest thinkers demand. And Robin Voss is a blip on the screen. Boy, is that a ridiculous amount of performative politics that is simply at its root cruel and exclusionary. And that's not what Wisconsin is at all.
Maggie Dawn, do you see any parallels between the current negotiations this weekend, the Senate and the Congress, the funding for Ukraine, the funding for Israel, tied to some random whatever makes Ron Johnson happy on the border stuff?
Of course it is. It's the same performative politics, right? The use of leverage for leverage's sake. It's not going to improve policy. It's not going to improve outcomes. It's going to harm the United States, just like Robin Voss's plan will harm and make people feel more excluded. It's all of one piece. It's the exact same tactic. Everybody should see it for what it is, a tactic, performative, that has nothing to do with what's going to make America safer or the University of Wisconsin educational system better. For shame. You're wasting our time. You're lying to our faces. And even you don't believe any of this nonsense. And just like I said about the immigration nonsense, that, remember what I said is like, let them take a victory lap, but it won't amount to a hill of beans. What did I just say about this thing that the university regents just had to do? Well, I'm taking a victory lap. It's not going to amount to a hill of beans in the grand scheme at the end of the day. But what it does do is hurt people. It sends a message that people aren't welcome. That's not what we're about. So call it out. It's just play acting. It's clowning. And it's beneath both the U.S. Congress and the UW Regents in our educational system.
844-967-2789. You think we'd want educated, you know, accepting people to come out of our colleges? Isn't that kind of a thing? You know, I mean, don't you want that? As mentioned, the employers, you know, someone coming in, some racist person who's never been around anybody else, to
people get fired for that.
Right. And all of a sudden be like, well, what did you fire me for? Well, because you can't do something like that. Say you're offending people. This is not okay. This is not a professional environment.
And that's the vast majority of us. And that majority of us who believe in inclusion and welcoming and believe in community and our neighbors, that is an overwhelming majority of us. And it's simply going to continue to be an overwhelming majority. The maths and the irrelevancy of the GOP and its antiquated beliefs is exactly why they're clowning you. Don't believe the hype.
I always believe Maggie Dawn. Thank you so much. You made our Friday afternoon so much better, because, you know, Dom was just kind of mailing it in today. I could see it. I could see it
I
in
love
his
you
eyes.
Guys, man. Happy to be here.
Maggie Dawn, thank you so much. Thank you to Alan Robinson, our friend and sponsor from Herbal Aspect. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, we do have more programming coming up, including the Maggie Dawn Show outside the Pizza Box in the Madison area on WMDX. And the morning cannolis tomorrow morning, our friend Jim, 9 to 11. Those are all the people that used to be friends of ours. They're all show hosts. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening.
I gotta go, American woman. Yeah.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.